Blog Talk Radio.
From Iceland, and I'm Rosanna Marte Fio. This is Gather Round, and tonight we have Blaine Pitcher, who is the West Coast activist for Palestine. Very, very active. Blaine, it's good to have you here.
Hello, thank you for having me on again, Ruth. I appreciate it.
I love the people when you come on.
I appreciate it.
Well, you have so much info, and tonight, besides giving us just info, you're going to also read letters from some of the young people in Palestine. I'm very excited about that.
Yes. Yeah, I am. That's correct. So I just wanted to start off by saying there was a ceasefire today.
Yeah.
It's a shaky ceasefire, but anything that keeps the bombs from falling out of the sky on top of these people's heads is good.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about opening the borders, so hopefully this is going to happen, but as we know, they talk about that, but a lot of times it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
The letters I'll be reading today are from kids around the age of 14 to 19 that are living in the Gaza Strip and dealing with the bombings that have been happening for the last 6 or 7 days. And basically their take on things.
And these are very current letters then.
Yeah, these are from just a day or two ago. These people just wrote these. I got with Linda Garrick, who lives in Vancouver, Canada, and she is a teacher, and she was teaching in the international school in Gaza. And so these are some of her students and some of the people that she knew when she was over there. And it kind of went viral, and they started sending me a bunch of letters. So this is what I've got going here.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, they have so much to say, and they just need an outlet.
Yeah, the biggest frustration with what's going on there is that these people really feel like nobody's listening, and let alone they don't have anybody even to tell. And Israel's very good at monitoring the stuff that goes in and out, and so it's difficult for even them to get their voices heard without having spun in a different direction and then making them all terrorists.
That's a whole other thing.
Right.
So, you want to get into the letters, and we can talk between letters or after or whatever.
Wonderful. So. Yeah, we can talk in between and maybe even discuss something that maybe someone said in one of the letters.
Yeah.
And I want to start off by greeting everybody in Gaza and anybody that's listening to the event here and all the kids that sent me the letters. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Okay, so the first one I got here is from a 16-year-old in Gaza named Mohammed Abu Ashim, Asha. This is what he wrote to me. Unnatural, unsafe, and unprotected place where there's no specific way of life. It's Gaza where I live. 4 days ago, the war started in Gaza. It's not just a war. It's a massacre for the Palestinian people, especially living in Gaza. It started when Israelis army attacked the leader of Al-Qassam, Ahmed al-Jabari, and killed him with his son Mohammed. Of course, Hamas responded to their leader, so they sent rockets, some of the most simplest rockets in the world, done by the hand, because they believe in the ideas, deals that say, if you live in a glass house, don't throw a stone. Israel responded by bombing the civilian houses and killing the people inside. Also, they bombed al-Jarwa, Al-Haywa, and the Al-Haywa Tower, which is for the journalist. The reason that they killed the journalist is that they want the massacre to not be seen by the outside world and no one to know what's going on in Gaza. People all over the world don't understand or know the truth. I will tell them the truth. I want to scream and break this wall of silence, injustice, and indifference, like the Israeli F-16s breaking the wall of sound every day as I'm awakened by the sound of bombs, rockets, and F-16 planes. There's no electricity, fuel for the cars, and especially for the ambulances, which is very important during the war. They still call us terrorists, but they kill the civilians, the journalists, the children, the women, and bomb the civilians' houses day and night while they're sleeping. Although they are not terrorists, but if we try to protect ourselves, they call us terrorists. What kind of terrorist? I want to know. I'm not blaming the world or asking you to support us. I'm asking you to be human. Also, I'm asking you to take a look for the truth. I'm asking you to feel for a minute like what the Palestinians and people in Gaza feel. Imagine your father, your mother, or any of your family dying like most of the Palestinians. How would you feel? During the last war, which was in 2008, they consumed and destroyed my relative's home in the night while they were sleeping and killed them all. They were civilians. They lived a normal life. Today, 11/19/2012, during the war, I hear at 9 a.m. on the radio that my grandpa's house and cousin, his family, has been bombed. They were civilians. Israel gives everything a reason. They killed the civilian, and they say it was a mistake. Or they didn't mean it. Or they meant it for the resistance. But in reality, it was the opposite. Another thing is that they consume and destroy. We are sick of being caught in this political struggle. Sick of cold, dark nights with airplanes circling above our homes. Sick of innocent farmers getting shot in the buffer zone as they're taking care of their lands. Sick of bearded guys walking around with guns, abusing their power, beating up or incarcerating young people, demonstrating for what they believe in. Sick of the wall of shame that separates us from the rest of our country and keeps us imprisoned in a stamp-sized piece of land. Sick of being portrayed as a terrorist, homemade fanatics with explosives in our pockets and evil in our eyes. Sick of the indifference we meet from the international community, the so-called experts in expressing concerns and drafting resolutions, but cowards in enforcing anything they agree on. We are sick and tired of living this life, being kept in jail by Israel, beaten up by Hamas, completely ignored by the rest of the world. History is repeating itself in the most cruel way, and no one seems to care. We are scared. Here in Gaza, we are scared of being incarcerated, interrogated, hit, tortured, bombed, killed. We are afraid of living, because every step we take has to be considered and well thought. There are limitations everywhere. We cannot move as we want, say what we want, do what we want. Sometimes we can't even think what we want because the occupation has occupied our brains and hearts so terribly that it hurts. And it makes us all want to shed endless tears of frustration and rage. We do not want to hate. We do not want to feel all of these feelings. We do not want to be victims anymore. Enough. Enough pain. Enough tears, enough suffering, enough control, limitations, unjust justifications, terror, torture, excuses, bombings, sleepless nights, dead civilians, black memories, bleak futures, heartaching, disturbed politics, fanatic politicians, religious bullshit, enough incarceration. We say stop. This is not the future we want. We will start by destroying the occupation that surrounds ourselves. We will break free from this mental incarceration and regain our dignity and self-respect. We will carry our heads high, even though we will face resistance. We will work day and night in order to change these miserable conditions we are living under. We will build dreams where we meet walls. That's Mohammed Abu Aisha, 16 years old, from the Gaza Strip.
And very articulate, and it's just horrible that a 16-year-old writes that from experience. It's shameful that we've allowed things to get like this. You know, he was talking about the drones and the things, and that's what I, even before this last pillar operation.
Yeah, whatever the hell they call it.
Yeah, whatever the hell they're calling it.
Yeah, I just can't. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, yeah. But before, you know, I read that the people in Gaza, probably 90% are suffering from, we used to call it PTSD, post-stress trauma disorder.
Well, it's actually CTSD there.
Right. Well, it's continual. There's nothing post about it. It's just a way of life.
Yeah, my good friend Kara Moken is a is a psychologist, children's psychologist, and she specializes in that. And when she goes over there, she does and deals with that.
I bet she had a lot to say when she came back.
That's all that some
of these kids have known their whole life.
That is correct. That is also correct. And that's what some of these letters say. So I've got a couple more here. Some of them are a little bit shorter than that first one, but I wanted to read that long one first. The other people, they say some really good stuff, but they're not nearly as long.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I'm going to continue on with Sally Mazen Anon. And she says, for the second time in 4 years, my school, which is the American International School in Gaza, has been bombed by the Israeli Air Force. I think it's time for the UN to openly condemn the deal with Israel for its crime against humanity. Do you think it's the school's fault in every war? Israelis destroy it by mistake? Thus, this principal starts working and worrying about wasting time rebuilding it instead of teaching the children. No, I think it's not the school's fault, or even ours. Let us forget about what happened for the school that I study at the start and talking about the innocent children and women who have been killed by Israelis. Do the Israelis, or actually the world outside, know that more than 100 people in Gaza, including innocent children and women, were killed within 6 days? I think we should call it a child massacre, not a war. The two sides by two sides. All of this, the Israelis still prefer calling us terrorists and telling others that this is just a lie. The pictures are simply from Syria, and this is not connected to Gaza, or they're simply going to say that it's self-defense and it's the government's fault. Why do they keep blaming it on others when asked about war crimes you Israelis have committed? They all say that the Israelis are asking the civilians nicely to get out of their homes so we can bomb it. Is this what they call a polite and gentle way? I think people should stand for humanity's sake, or else they'll continue destroying, killing, and smacking us in the face. I really want to live safely. Everyone else does, and we all want peace. But how do you make peace with someone who refuses to recognize your legitimacy? Israel, Gaza has nothing to offer but blood, toil, and tears, and half of the civilians have died while the rest are waiting in lines. That's Sally Mazen Anon in Gaza.
It's so sad anyway, but that this is all coming from these young people.
Right. These people are the future of Gaza, and these are the people that we really should be listening to, because they're going to be the leaders of later on, and they're going to be the ones that are going to have to make peace.
Yeah.
So
the latest figure that I heard was 161 Palestinians have been killed, and hundreds and hundreds injured.
Yeah, about 900 injured, maybe 1,000 injured by now.
Yeah.
Because they really blitzkrieged them the last 2 days when they knew there was going to be a ceasefire.
Oh, yeah.
And they just go crazy, and they just start bombing as many as they can drop them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what she was saying in there, you know, I mean, people stress the women and children, but civilians. But most of these guys are civilians. Because they consider anyone a terrorist, the male over 12 or 14. I mean, these are not terrorists. And besides, we would say freedom fighters. But they're not. They're people who are just trying to make it in this horrible situation. So they're no more terrorists than my cats are.
I know. These people are friendly individuals. And I had two good friends, Hakeem and Justin. He works with the Rachel Corey Foundation. Hakeem's from Gaza. And they brought Ayman, who just got here from Gaza, and we actually got to spend the evening on Saturday, and I got to meet with them, and that was a good time, and to find out exactly what's going on over there, because he just got here, Ayman did. So we're trying to keep him here for more classes and such because of the poor situation over there.
Right. Well, the last time, now this isn't the children's letters, but I did want to ask, the last time we talked, you were trying to help with the hospital or the doctor's fees for some tests for...
Yeah, we did really well with that. Mohammed is receiving chemotherapy treatment at Swedish Hospital in Seattle. They were kind enough to cover him as a refugee. And then his treatments are going well, and he's in good spirits, and his health is improving. So, you know, good grace of God, we'll get him cured, and he'll be all set. His daughter, Hibba...
So much to do with that. You really did.
I had some to do with it. Yeah, really, Kara Mochin and his son, her son Hakeem, they deserve a majority of the credit. They're the ones that are doing all the hard work. I'm just trying to help fill in the gaps.
Well, I mean, I was just like, oh my God, when you were talking about the money that would be involved and to get the test and this and that. And
right.
If people who are listening don't know, the man and his wife had come to visit their son here. They came in legally, and then he got sick. And because they came in legally, they couldn't get treatment.
Right.
Which was...
Well, then, with the outreach that Cara did, she managed to get Swedish to look at it a different way, so it worked out.
God, but yeah, that was so bizarre. I'm so glad that he's doing well.
Yeah.
And his son is still here.
Yep. Oh, yeah, Hakeem is doing well as well. I saw him this weekend, so... Yeah, he's doing great.
So he had just been back to visit then?
Yeah, Hakeem lives in a place called Pullman, Washington, because he goes to Washington State University,
right.
But
okay.
He's down the hill quite a bit because his wife is here in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and press on.
Sure.
This is Noor Karma, 19 years old, from Gaza. And this is what this person has to say. 4 years ago, I lost one of my friends during the war. That was in Gaza, 2008, 2009. Now I'm afraid I'll lose myself.
Huh.
3 days ago, I had to move from my house because of the nearby bombs. I thought we would be safe, but guess what? Palestinians have no safe place.
Yeah.
I've been awake for the past 4 days, and my siblings didn't stop crying all day. When I look into my baby brother's eyes, I feel desperate because I can't do anything to make him feel safe. Launching rockets from both sides is useless. It only terrifies and kills innocent people. Whatever was the problem between Palestine and Israel can never be solved by war. So why risk all these innocent souls? On the other hand, there's an unusual use of force, which means you can't compare the Israeli technology with Palestinian.
Right.
Israel is much more advanced than Palestine, has all the military tools and weapons that could be needed to announce or start a war. But Palestine, the occupied territory, only owns its faith in God. I study law and understand war in all its forms. It's illegal. Nothing justifies using harsh weapons, destroying mosques, churches, civilian homes, and putting civilians' lives at risk. I think what is happening is collective punishment to civilians who have not done anything but dream to live like any other human being. Someday, when I become a really famous and successful lawyer, I'll work towards the fulfillment of Palestinian rights through proper legal channels. Fighting will get nobody nowhere. I will make a huge difference one day, I promise. Noor Karma, 19 years old.
Oh, God. Well, she's determined.
Yeah. Very determined. That's what I love about their steadfastness. Yeah. It's just unbelievable.
The hope. I mean, they inspire me every day.
I know, me too. That's why I continue to do what I do, because they deserve every minute of my time.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so I have Sammy, 14-year-old from Gaza. I am Sammy Zemo. I am 14 years old. I am in grade 9 in the American International School in Gaza. War. It started in a way that surprised us. Caused them to kill an important person for us, who is El-Jabari. Then our resistance started to attack Israel and Tel Aviv for the first time, and every day we can't sleep. If we slept, we would wake up to the sound of bombing and Israeli attacks. Every day my little sister's cries becomes afraid of the sounds of bombing. We started to dream about just sleeping one day without killing and bombing. Every day we say this is the end of the war, but then we realize it's just another start. It's just like sand. If you take from it, it just doesn't finish. That is Sammy Zemo in Gaza, 14 years old.
14.
Yeah.
And the little kids, they just cry and cry. I saw a picture of two pretty small ones with cotton balls.
Yeah, I saw that picture. They put earmuffs over their ears so they can sleep.
Yeah, could you... Imagine.
I can't imagine.
No.
The other people I'm talking to, Hakeem's sister, Zainab Bashir, is in Gaza. Also, Amani is in Gaza. And then Ashraq Ayub is also in Gaza. And I've been talking to them on the regular basis. And they were all very scared, but they all were very steadfast in believing in their resistance fighters, and just not taking no for an answer, so to speak.
Yeah.
Not happy about what's going on, but at the same time, not willing to just give up.
No, they won't give up.
Well, they want the borders to be opened, and so that was part of the ceasefire deal. But Israel's saying they're not going to do that, and then Hamas says they are. So it just remains to be seen what's going to happen with that. Because if they don't open the borders, the fighting's going to continue.
Well, now which borders are we talking about?
All of them. All of them. The ones that are lead from Israel, that are the crossing points for goods, and then also the Rafah border crossing, and then you have the Allenby over in Jordan as well. So they want all those open so they can get stuff in so they can start rebuilding communities.
Well, I know that
infrastructure.
A few days ago, Egypt said that Rafah was open 24/7, and then the Zionists, with their good strategy, bombed real close to it, and it was shut down.
Yeah, they bombed the other side of the border. They bombed Egypt's side of the border this week, which is something that's kind of unprecedented. So, but
yeah.
They do what they do, and there's they do what they do. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have Salma Shawa, 15-year-old from Gaza, and this is what she's telling. I'll tell you a bedtime story when I can't even sleep, but I'll tell you anyway because you don't really care whether I sleep or not, because all you want to hear is your bedtime story. Okay. Lesson one, the world is full of ignorant, self-loving people. My story is about a big boy who gets martyred at the age of 13. His mommy gave birth to another boy, a baby boy, who wanted to see life, but his first image was destruction everywhere. Lesson two, we die, we give newborns, we are invincible. Our futures are doomed from the moment we enter the gate of life. Anyway, the baby boy eventually grows up, becomes a big man who supported his mom and siblings with food and worked all day for that. Lesson three, a big man in my case might always be a 10-year-old child. So, yeah, we go back to lesson one. You guys are ignorant, self-loving, and you only know the word man in your own way, the way you want to hear it. So, as the big man became older and older, he found that some people suppress his being. He also thought that speaking up for his rights and saying his opinion, no matter what the world thinks of them, was his complete right. But that was a lesson one taught us. People are ignorant and wouldn't want to hear what such a man has to say. And then one day the man was furious and couldn't handle it anymore. And eventually people woke up and understood his life. But guess what? Because you're ignorant people, he didn't give any attention about your late caring for him, because he'd been in agony since the moment he opened his eyes to this world. And that's my bedtime story. Not quite exciting, eh? Exactly my life. But wait till you live it. So that was basically his life. He was born into war, and he's continued into war, and he's helping support his family, and he's 10 when he's supporting his family. Now he's 14.
What? I mean, that's an existence.
But not a life.
Life, no.
No. Okay, so I have Ranin Haddad, 19 years old from Gaza. And this is what she has to say. Should I tell you what the Gazans feel when you hear the sound of Israeli rockets? Should I talk specifically about the fear in kids' hearts? Should I tell how the parents themselves feel, since they have no idea how to protect their family? So helpless. For the last 3 days, there was more than 900 airstrikes. Should I explain how we feel every airstrike? They bombed an empty land near my living room window. It lit the whole house. I felt like it bombed in the living room. I heard the windows and everything falling, but I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even go out of the room we were hiding inside. We waited until they stopped bombing. Then we went out to find our house, full of dust, sand, and glass. It's not only about my house or family. Every single person who's living in Gaza Strip is suffering because of the damage in his or her house, and because of fear that we face every day. Acts such as these, in my opinion, are the most heinous, hateful acts one could ever commit against their own species. The death toll of Palestinians is 100 times the amount of Israel. Israelis run to shelters when they hear sirens. Do you know why? Because it's not their land, so they don't understand how to die for it. We Palestinians are not terrorists. We are resisting against occupation. Logically, if someone occupied your homeland and systematically control a population by building walls, checkpoints, destroying universities, sewage system, controlling imports, what would you do in return? And that was Renin Haddad, 19 years old, from Gaza.
Wow. That's true. The Palestinians have, I mean, generations and generations invested in their farms and their orchards and things. And
they wipe them out in a second.
Exactly. I mean, it's part of you when you're part of the land like that. And we've all seen that picture. It's been around several years, that older lady holding on.
Yeah, hanging on to the oil tree. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just think about
And that olive tree was, hundreds of years old.
Yeah, yeah. And they
they just come through with chainsaws and just start hacking them, or light them on fire and then get protected by the Israeli soldiers while they're trying to put out the fires. And they're shooting at them while they're putting out the fires, or shooting tear gas at them while they're trying to put out the fires.
Our mutual friend Shadi had talked about how his grandparents had an orange orchard, in the north, and of course that disappeared too.
They also wiped out the only green space in Gaza this time around. It was kind of a cemetery and a park, and it was really beautiful. They destroyed it.
Oh my God. That was the one that Vic did.
Yeah, Vic was, yep.
Right. That was beautiful. And so far,
gone.
Scum. Yeah. Oh, I mean, her scum, because they do know what they're aiming at.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, this is systematic. This is not something. This isn't by accident. Yeah.
Oh, that was a beautiful place. I mean, it was a peaceful, that little area there, that cemetery where you could go. And there was a Jewish part section in it too that was taken care of, just like. Oh.
Yeah, and they destroyed it with bombs. Oh. They just bombed the whole area. Now it's just a big wasteland. But one thing I can say about Gaza is it's going to be rebuilt. We're going to get this taken care of.
Oh, it will.
And it's going to grow up out of the ashes.
Yeah.
I fully believe that. So
it's one of those we're in it to win it things, and
it'll
be won.
It's an all or nothing thing, and it's all.
Pain.
Just
useless killing. It's murder.
Yeah,
it's murder.
It's murder. It's genocide. It's murder. It's just what it is. So now my next person here, I have Zane El Reyes, and I want to say hi to Zane. He's one of my new Facebook friends. He's 16 years old. He's from the God. So if anybody wants to friend him off my Facebook page, you're more than welcome to. He lives in Gaza, and this is what his story is. Gaza. Here in Gaza, the sky is full of smoke and horrible sounds because of lighting or fireworks. No, dear, it's Israeli rockets. You can only find ambulances in the street. The situation is so dangerous. We're not sure if we're going to stay alive for the next day. Many people have lost their houses. Others left their houses because of Israeli bombs. Israel uses F-16 planes to destroy places in Gaza, claiming that they destroy terrorist stores. Israel claimed that Israeli soldiers killed only Hamas armed members, but in reality, they kill everybody, including children, women. Children now can differentiate between the sounds of bombs, missiles, and tank shells. That just blows my mind.
Yeah, that should not be.
No, that should not be. They can tell the difference between the shells. Israeli forces don't care for victims if they're civilians. El Shifa Hospital has hundreds of injuries. Doctors say that Israel forces are using weapons that aren't allowed internationally. We, as Palestinians living in Gaza, are not given the chance to talk about the situation here. On the other hand, Israeli guys are always given these chances.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, many people in the USA, Canada, Australia, and Europe don't know the truth. Israel says we have to defend our people, and the whole world is accepting. But when Palestinians say it's our natural right to defend our people, they call us terrorists. Are we terrorists because we want to defend ourselves? Are we terrorists because we're dreaming of a better future? Give me liberty or give me death. We Palestinians are human. We are just like other people in the world. We are not terrorists. I am not asking you to support us. I'm just asking you to be neutral. Free Palestine. Long live resistance. I thought that was great.
I might add that, you know, whether people like Hamas or not, and of course the U.S. government, because Hamas doesn't kiss their ass,
right,
that they're terrorists. But, you know, Hamas was legally elected.
Yes.
And I am so tired of fighting people on this when they talk about horrible people that are in Hamas. It's like, this is a legal body. They were elected by the people. Get over it.
The first thing you need to tell these people is Hamas was created by Israel to fight the PLO. That's the first thing.
Right.
And then it backfired on them. Then the other thing you need to tell people is, because of the situation on the ground, they have been unable to have another election because of all the crap and all the dividing that's been going on, and the way they use the Fatah government in the West Bank to go against the Hamas government and then play them against each other, so they never can have another election. So if they want Hamas out of there, they need to have more elections, and they need to be able to have a process to where they can, you know, elect their own leaders, and maybe that would change. You know, that's my thinking.
But in the midst of it all, I mean, I talk to people who they don't, I mean, they're there and they don't hate Hamas.
No.
They, you know, I mean, it's a pretty strict kind of governing body, admittedly. But
well, they have to be. They're completely, they're trying to protect themselves. I mean, they get assassinated. They're not safe.
And they have traitors in there coming and going all the time. And Hamas does in a traitor, just like the people that killed Victoria. You know, it needed to be done. I mean, whoever took care of them, that was, that kind of thing. So it's, don't. But the United States has never cared about whether the ruling people are oppressive.
No.
But whether,
no.
Whether,
well, unless they don't agree with their policies and their procedures. Yeah.
So that's why they're terrorists, because Israel is terrorist.
Okay, so I've got another one here. This is Karam Basil Alaya, 14 years old, Gaza. And she writes, "Why Palestinians? Why is it Palestinians who get killed, murdered, or injured all the time? Why is Palestine the only occupied land on earth in the current history? Asking such questions will not change anything. Asking these kinds of questions will not make an 11-month-old boy come back to life, although he was killed for doing nothing. Asking why will not get the tears of his father back into his eyes. Asking these kinds of questions will not make my young sister not fear the sound of explosions every minute after a while everyone feels helpless. Asking these questions will not make me stop being worried about my mother, who I didn't see for almost 3 days because she's a journalist. She works every single moment to show the world the crimes of the Israelis against Palestinian civilians. Palestinians feel desperate to the point they started launching homemade rockets on Israel in an attempt to defend themselves from the Israeli brutal aggression. Unfortunately, the international media pictures this as an equal war, and they make the victim and the victimizer as equal. In my opinion, nothing will resolve this issue except for just peace, where Palestinians get their rights back, have their own state. It's paradoxical that the Western governments don't see how much Palestinians have to give up to accomplish peace. 22% of historic Palestine is all Palestinians are asking for to build their state and live side by side with the Israelis. And yet, this doesn't seem acceptable. How much blood should be shed? How many lives should be lost in order for the Israeli population to recognize that the Israeli criminal leaders simply do not want to achieve peace in order to stay in power? Israelis should know by now that regardless of their aggression, siege, killing, land confiscations, no just peace will be achieved without Palestinians gaining their rights. And the name of the game will always remain democracy and equal rights and nothing else." And that was Karim Basil Alaya, 14 years old, from Gaza.
I guess I wanted to ask you, these are so well written. The English is impeccable. Are these students?
The students wrote these, and they all speak English, and they all go to the American International School in Gaza, they're taught English.
Yeah.
I had to do a little editing on a couple of them, but because of the broken English, but not very much. This is basically in their own words.
No, excellent. And I mean, they're just so articulate. You feel it.
Oh yeah,
they're talking about.
I feel it when I read it. I feel like I'm there.
Yeah.
And just touch the person, you know, it's amazing. Okay, so I have Zaina Halu. She's 13 years old. And she writes, America and Israeli democracy at work in Gaza again. I am Zaina Halu. I'm 13 years old. I study at the American International School in Gaza. I've been trying for the last 4 days to write anything about the situation in Gaza. Actually, no words can describe what is going on here. It is a war. Is it a war? No. It is the madness of the Israeli army and its leaders, enjoying the blood shedding of Palestinian children and women. The smell of blood is everywhere here. The destruction of homes, mosques, and churches. They're using American weapons to kill and injure us. I wonder, is this the American and Israeli democracy? If so, to hell with democracy and human rights they lecture the whole world about. I'm in a dilemma. How can the people of America and Europe see what is happening to us and not even say a word and try to stop such atrocities? Then I feel better. I think that God is with us. No matter how long this inhuman war continues, God will make us prevail. And that's Zaina Halu from Gaza, 13 years old.
Wow.
I have another one here, kind of short. Adam Karma, 13 years old, Gaza Strip. We Palestinians can't describe the feeling of what is happening to us every day. This is hilarious hearing every single minute. Bombing is something really hilarious, but it's something we Palestinians get used to. Even parents who are known as their children's heroes can't do a single thing for their kids. I really am scared, and I can't describe how much scary it is. But people here should have faith that we Palestinians are getting our land back soon. We can't just give up because Israelis are stronger than us. We also have the strongest weapon, the weapon of life, which is faith. And soon, we all Palestinians will feel God's comfort and be safe, even though I'm afraid, but I don't want this war to end. You know why? So we can keep on fighting until God shows who's right, who's wrong, and we'll take our land back. Inshallah. That was Adam Karma.
Oh, wow.
13 years old.
Yeah, but, well, he's right. It's going to come back. I firmly believe that. I had a question for you about the hospital. I read in a couple places that some of the workers in the hospital said that some of the wounded and dead that they saw had symptoms, marks, whatever, that made them think of cast lead. We were talking about in 08 and 09 and the white phosphorus. Have you heard?
You know, I got a small blip from somebody that said Harry Fear had said that they had dropped some white phosphorus on some areas. Okay. But Cara called me on it and said, you know, where'd you find that? I want to know where. And I'm not able to find where it's been used. But I can't say that it wasn't because the Israelis don't care what kind of weapons they use on Team Israel. Use anything because they never have to pay the price.
Well, they've got some of it left over from the United States from the 08 and 09, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. They probably got new stuff. I mean, they probably gave them more.
Because some of that was pretty old, but yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, they use banned weapons on a regular basis against civilian populations, and there's never anybody that does anything to them. There's, you know, nobody ever censors them or puts sanctions on them, like, say, Iran or, you know, or the different countries that we have sanctions on, even Gaza and Hamas and all that. They don't have any reason not to use them. They don't care. Nobody's going to do anything to them.
Well, no, I mean, they don't go by any kind of international law, just like when
they don't have to.
Mavi Marmara in international waters 60 miles out, they attacked them. And all the UN resolutions that have been passed against them, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter one bit.
The U.S. won't let anything be enforced against them. So,
nope.
You know, but
things are changing, and so we're just going to keep fighting, and we're going to keep pushing.
Yeah, more people are actually, this time around, more people have taken notice.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I agree. A lot of people have taken big notice, and that's very, very good, too. That makes me feel good that people are waking up.
Yeah.
And Israel is starting to go, uh-oh, because everybody knows that the reason they got bombed this time was not because of rockets. It was because of the election in Israel, and Netanyahu has a lot of social problems.
Why don't you elaborate a little bit on that? Because there may be somebody who doesn't understand it.
So Netanyahu called for elections in January to have his to try to get reelected, and the people in Israel are really upset with him because of their social problems. They're having a lot of problems with housing, a lot of problems with very expensive housing, and inflation is very high there, and wages are low, and there's just a lot of things going on socially there that is very unacceptable to the people. So what Netanyahu's done, which he's not the first leader of Israel to do this, actually. This is a pattern right around the elections. And also they wait until the Americans are in the holiday season, too. That's also another thing they like to do, to try to keep people's mind off of it because we're distracted by other things. And so when he goes and bombs them and he looks tough, then that causes people to get a nationalistic feel, and then they end up reelecting him because they feel like he's the one that's going to protect them the best. Even though that they're really those rockets don't kill anyone. And I can also say that the three people that were killed, that was the first three people that were killed by those rockets in over a year. And really the only time people are killed is when there's a conflict and they launch more rockets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's for them to say, oh, well, the rockets, you know, well, they didn't kill anybody for a full year. But the Israelis, I can't say that for them. They've killed about 150 people this year. Most of them just farmers and kids and just people that are out trying to just, you know, do their thing.
Yeah.
So, and then that was before they started bombing Gaza. Now they've killed, you know, 150 or 160 and hundreds. Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, too, you know, about the hospitals and the wounded is you got to understand they don't have medication. They're short on bandages. There's not a lot you can do for these people that are injured. And I just can't even imagine that. I mean, dying's the easy part. You know, living through some of these horrific injuries is what's terrible.
Well, that's what some of the people, you know, who were trying to get out. I mean, in those horrible checkpoints, those long lines, maybe for days or whatever, and then that, you know, come back tomorrow. I mean, they're trying to get out for medical care.
Right, and that's difficult in itself. You have to have special permits, and you have to know somebody. And that's part of the problem with being, you know, Hamas-led government is that they do a lot of favoritism. So if you don't support Hamas, there's a good chance you won't get out to get medical care because they control everything.
Yeah.
So that's a real problem.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides there.
But at the same time, we complain about our government too. I mean, no government is perfect.
Oh please. So. Well, and just what Netanyahu has done, you know, because the election is coming up, because he was thinking correctly, like you said. I've heard that we have never changed presidents from, you know, like first term. We would keep him for a second term if we were in some kind of war.
Right.
And so that's a very common thing.
It's very easy.
Get the nationalism up
And then also my take on it, too, is I think Netanyahu is upset that the Americans kept him from attacking Iran. So he's a little bit mad about that. So this is his way of, like, flexing his muscles and making him feel good about himself.
And then he was all lined up with his good buddy Romney.
Oh, I know. I'm so glad that.
I know. You know, if for no other reason.
For no other reason. Exactly. 100%. Yeah. 100%. So, you know, Obama's not perfect in this by any stretch, but at the same time, the other side would have been so much worse.
Oh,
he would have attacked Iran right now.
Yeah.
Of course, Gaza might not have got attacked because they'd be busy with Iran, but that's another whole other deal. Okay, so I'm going to continue. I've got a couple more here. I just want to get through them all because I want to make sure these kids get their due.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Izzy Tontish, 19 years old, Gaza Strip. And this is what she writes, or he writes, I'm not sure. Palestinian is a free country, just like any other country. As an American and a Palestinian, I fully support Palestine. Why? Because these people are fighting and dying for their land. Everyone keeps saying we are terrorists, but it doesn't make sense. We are fighting for our land and people, just as Israel is fighting for their land and people. We have every right to fight for our own rights. People don't see what is really going on here. I read the Israeli news every day, and it's full of lies. An amusing thing is that when we fire little rockets, the Israelis run for their lives and act as if we've killed millions, even if when they catch these rockets before entering. But when they fire their bombs from tanks, jets, and military ships, and we have no defense, we fight back. We don't run. We don't hide. All we do is accept the fact we're going to die for our land. It amazes me how we have little and they have much, and they still can't defeat us. I believe this is God's power, and we are showing who truly are, how powerful we can be. In the war of 2008-2009, two of my cousins passed away. When I saw it on the news in America, I couldn't believe my eyes. What did they do to the Israeli army for them to even shoot at them? This is an example of how millions of Palestinians are getting killed for no reason. And still Israel is acting as if we have hurt them, taken their land, crushed their dreams of hope. After coming to Palestine in 2009-2010, I now know what it's like for people living here. And trust me, it's not pleasant. People really need to watch, listen, and fully understand from both sides what's going on. They shouldn't just throw words into the sky. I believe everyone has the right to fight for what they believe in, good or bad. Everyone has a right. We, human beings, are no different from each other. Tell me what makes us different. Is it because we have different religion? Is it because we have different traditions? Is it because we have different thoughts and sayings? We, human beings, are all the same. We have the same heart. We have the same feelings. We have the same fear. And we have the same goals. And of course, these goals are to bring the world to peace and end the wars for all. I hope that today, tomorrow, in a month, or even in the years to come, that one day people will finally realize what is good for this world and people for the future. Please, we, the Palestinian and others, are suffering from different parts of the world in different wars, are begging for this end. We want peace, not destruction. And then he writes to Linda, "Hi, Mrs. Linda, this is all I could get from my head. It's really hard to express what is bothering me. I am just so upset and overwhelmed to see all this since it's my first time to experience such an event. Thank you for your support. It really gives me hope that someday this will end." So that's 19 years old.
Is his first, because he was here, and then he went.
Right. And now he's there, and he's seeing it for firsthand. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So I have another one. This is Lena Mustafa, 16-year-old girl from Gaza. And she writes, "It's been decades now since Israel first claimed Palestine and made it their land. It's been decades and the Palestinians are still suffering. It's been decades and no one has done anything whatsoever about all this. So now we say, where do we stand? Are people that deaf not to hear our voices? Or are they simply blind to all the blood that we've shed? We scream and cry out loud and nobody bothers to listen. But now all we ask for you is to listen, to hear us out, to let us tell you what is really happening to us. Because we are bleeding deeply, and some of our wounds are fatal. Lives have been claimed. Children, women, and people of all ages are being killed every single minute that passes. Why do they have to die? Nobody has any right that says they can claim those people's lives whenever they simply feel like it, but that's the way it is. Israel feels like killing, so Israel kills. It doesn't matter if it's a child or a woman or a man. It's just another person they need to get out of their way to get what they want. What was once a fight for the Holy Land became now a bloody massacre. Palestinian after Palestinian is dying and nobody cares. But it's time to care. It's time to open your ears and listen. Because there are no pigs for slaughter. These are human beings. Humans with feelings. Humans with lives, families, and goals. Nobody wants this for themselves or for their children. Then why do they find it perfectly normal when it happens to Palestinians? They are humans just like every single one of you. Let their voices be heard around the world. Gaza is bleeding, and soon enough, there won't be enough blood to go around." That's
wow.
16 years old. That was awesome.
Oh.
That one gave me chills. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have two more. I have Rima Ashrafa, 16 years old from Gaza. "My name is Rima Al-Sharafa. I'm 16 years old and from Gaza, and I'm living in the war right now. I am a student at the American International School in Gaza, and I want to share my experience. Every morning since Wednesday, November 14th, I hope to wake up to the sound of my mother's soft voice or the birds outside of my window. Instead, every morning, I wake up disappointed and terrified by the sounds of air raids by the IDF on Gaza and ask for God's safety. I wonder if I will die today or tomorrow. Will I stay alive to see the end of this war or other wars like the one I've already survived in 2009? My family and I left our house because we don't know if our neighbors will be targeted, if our house will still be standing, if my relatives will still be okay. All these questions haunt me, for where I'm hiding in the bed every morning. Looking through the window to the sky, I find columns of black smoke everywhere. All I can hear are ambulances in the street and the horrible bombing sounds. When I watch TV, I find many people have lost their lands, their houses, their families, their friends. I hear mothers crying for their children, children crying for their fathers, wives for their husbands, all asking for help in saving their loved ones. No one is safe. Not even embryos have been spared. The Israelis say they are targeting Hamas, but the truth is that innocent people are being killed and all of us are affected by this war. Every time we begin to progress as a people to having a decent life, a war happens and the entire strip has been reduced to zero. This is not a war between two countries. It is between a country and the people it occupies. We are normal people and need our basic human rights. We are occupied and need freedom. I want to wake up to the sound of birds, not bombs. Rima Al-Sharafa, 16-year-old, Gaza.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want
them to wake up to birds, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, and one last one. Nadia Nan. She's 14 years old. She's from Gaza. Says, hi, my name is Nadi Mazan Anan. I'm 14 years old. I'm in the American International School on Gaza. I just want to ask, why are they always mean to Gaza? Why do they want to kill all the children in Gaza? What is their fault? Is it their fault that their parents, that are working for them, to give them all they want, to make them live the life they want? What was their fault? Why does Israel want to destroy all of the buildings in Gaza? They even destroyed our school for the second time. Today is the sixth day of the war. We were expecting that they will continue studying at the earliest. Sunday we heard our school had been affected from destroying the Abbas Police Building. Now we are surprised by these sad pictures that this school is not suitable to study at anymore. But the pictures that you see, the school needs more than 1 week to be rebuilt. What is our fault to see our school like this? On the other hand, do you think we might find a home to live in the next day or even the next few hours? I just want to tell everyone that says we are liars. We are not liars, and we are not waiting for them to believe us. Believe because we are living and seeing this war. And that's Nadi and Nan. There's a common theme here, and that is that they're terribly upset that they keep bombing the school because the school is their only outlet. That is where they go to get their mind off of being in a siege and living in such horrible conditions. And that's why they're so articulate and so bright, because they spend so much of their time in school. So anyway, Ruth, thank you so much for letting me read those. And
Peter McKinney,
also thank you. That was awesome.
Thank you, everybody that wrote, sent these. I mean, it's amazing, and you're right. It's ridiculous that the West and other countries don't open their minds. Like we talked, I think a little bit more people are. This last few days has opened even lamestream here in the U.S.
Yeah.
From what I've been told, they actually have said a few things and shown a few pictures, and It wasn't all Zionist biased. So
no, it's starting to make people with a conscience actually really come together, even people that maybe don't agree with Hamas or with the Palestinians, but they're realizing that this can't continue the way this is going.
Right.
And when you see innocent kids...
This isn't a war. This is genocide. I mean, Palestine has no army, no navy, no air force. They have some homemade rockets.
Mm-hmm.
It got it all.
Everything you can think of, and then some things you never could even imagine.
Right. Plus $3 million a day from the U.S. to support them. That's that we know of.
Well, they just they keep saying $7 million for that missile defense system, but it's actually $7 billion, and they keep saying $7 million, but it's not. It's $7 billion more dollars American money.
Right.
Going over there to supposedly protect Israelis, which doesn't make a bit of sense to me. You know, it just does not. I mean,
like,
who are they protecting them from?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, why are they so scared? Why are they so paranoid?
That,
I want to say one other thing. I want to, for anybody that's listening, I want to, you know, send out my condolences also to the people in Israel that were hurt on that bus. I don't believe that anybody should have to go through that, families of any race, religion, creed, nothing. That happened. I understand why it happened. I don't agree with it. And I feel bad for the civilians that were on that bus. And hopefully we'll get to the bottom of it and find out who did that. I have a sinking feeling it wasn't a Palestinian, but that's just my thinking.
I was just going to say that this is a false flag in my opinion. But,
but at the same time, it's hard to sell because Hamas is known for pulling that kind of stuff off and those kind of operations off. And I can understand why
and
they
it's
would.
Terrible. I mean, my heart goes out to the people who were involved. That was
So I just want to throw that out there that, you know, I'm not anti-Jewish and I'm not anti-Israeli. I'm anti-occupation. I'm anti-Zionist.
Yeah. There's anti-Semitic about us.
Right. No. And if I, you know, if this was the time during the Holocaust and the Nazis were killing the Jews, I would be protesting for the Jews. I mean, it wouldn't be any different.
And it wasn't just the Jews. It was the Gypsies, the gays, the Catholics, the Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, a lot of people were hauled off.
Right. Right, and it's the same with in Palestine, where Israel is killing the Christians and the Muslims and the secular and the more and Jews if they don't agree. And so it's the exact same. And anybody that thinks it's not, you need to read history a little bit more and really and get in depth in what's going on over there. So, and talk to real people. You know, talk to the real Palestinians on the ground. They'll tell you what's up.
That's it. And if anybody's having trouble locating some, you can find them through Blaine.
Yes, you sure can. I've got four or five on my page, and I can always get more. And also, you can, you know, run across Linda's page as well. She's got a lot of kids on there and things like that. So they're out there, and they're big social media hounds, and they love to talk to people, and they love to tell their story. And they're great storytellers, as you can tell.
Right. And one of the things that, you know, it doesn't sound maybe important, but it really is just listen. They need to be able to have someone to talk to tell, to share with somebody.
And that's what our job is, me and you, Ruth.
Yeah.
We are the voices outside those walls.
Yeah.
We are giving them a platform to, you know, get the information out to the different people and tell their side of the story. And I think that's great.
Yeah. And once in a while, then you hear, just like, you know, somebody the other day was, you know, told me, wow, you know, you've made me see things totally different.
Wonderful.
In this regard, and I've gone, yeah, okay, good, because it's like, I know you're not a stupid person, but, you know.
Right. Well, I have a friend who lives downstairs from me, and he grew up Jesuit, Christian, Catholic, went to an all-boys Catholic school, and he was kind of, you know, not going on the fence, you know, well, it's been fighting since the dawn of time and blah, 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 and this and that. Well, then I had my friends from Gaza come to the house, and they were there, and he came over Saturday night and was hanging out with us, and he has a lot of different take on things, and I thought that was kind of neat, too. So
very good,
Just getting the information to people and actually seeing the people and actually talking to the actual people that are going through this really is very powerful.
It is very powerful.
Yeah,
so,
and I think these stories are
I want to thank you and thank Linda. For getting
together. Well.
And thank
we
you.
All work together on this. It's in solidarity. Without you, we couldn't get this. Without Linda, I wouldn't have the stories. And without my voice, we wouldn't have it out on the air. So, we're all working together.
We're working together. We want to thank the young people for just putting it out there. And it gave me chills.
I need to know. And those kids in Gaza will get to hear the archive of this, and I'm sure it'll make them real happy to hear their names on the air. And all that, and so that's also pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
So get that archive over to me on Facebook so I can get that shared to the rest of the rest of the world.
It'll be a little over half an hour because there's something else on this, but then it'll come, and we'll get it out and about.
Yeah, just share it to me, and then I'll bounce it to everybody that needs to get it.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Thank you, and I look forward to having you back.
Okay, great. Yeah, I look forward to being back, and hopefully we'll get to talk about happy things in Gaza. It'll be wonderful.
Oh, yes. I can see that. Dancing in the street.
Right.
Okay, thank you, my friend.
Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
You
good
too.
Night, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
the beginning of September, you'll find DaughtersOfIsis.com fully functional and waiting for you to go on over and make your purchases of any of our oils or our flower essence formulas or misters or powders, potions, and brews, because we've even got teas. That's the ancestor of aromacology over at DaughtersOfIsis.com. Thank you now for coming by to see us. We appreciate it.
Hey, everybody. The holidays are upon us, and it's kind of weighing me down. I don't know about you, but this time of year is difficult for me. It's like there's an unwritten rule to be happy and thankful, which I find difficult in the best of times. But when life seems a bit much, I often turn to music. So tonight's show is as much for me as it is for you. Turn up your volume and let these songs take you away.
Can you feel me? Thank you.
right. So in that set, we heard beginning the set with The Warrior from Walela, followed by Empire State of Mind from Alicia Keys, a song I really like, followed by Amazing Grace by Leroy White, and then we heard Mercy by Duffy, and following that was You've Got the Love by Candy Stanton, and we finished it out with Unspeakable Joy by Ken English. That's my playlist of feel-good music. What's yours? I hope you all enjoy tonight. The show's running a little bit short, so I might play one more song to take us out. Thanks for listening.